You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Text line 913-576-7610. CDOT, when will you learn? This is the NM could beat another team. Doesn't mean it's likely, but it could happen. I'm not interested in talking about 5 or 10% things and chances. Like, that just doesn't really interest me. I can't tell anybody how to operate this week. If the Steelers coming to town has you shook, I'm not here over the next 5 days to tell you otherwise. If what you've seen from the team that they just beat 36-10 the day after Christmas, if that team's got you shook, I don't know what to tell you. Rob, how many times have you watched the Steelers play this year?
Far too many. It's awful to
watch. They're terrible. I'm just not going to operate like I have any respect for them because I don't.
Tyler Huntley gave them all they wanted on Saturday.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it.
You know, a lot of people say Huntley is the Mahomes of Utah. So
yeah, relax, okay? We don't got to throw Tyler Huntley under the bus. He didn't do anything to deserve it, all right? He didn't do anything to deserve
it. I'm just stating, he was a starting quarterback last week. He gave the Steelers all sorts of business for five quarters.
Someone on the text line asked this question. Will it be possible to bet on the Super Bowl? If so, how do you do it? Bro, that might be the wildest text we've ever received. That might be the wildest text ever. Will it be possible to bet on the Super Bowl? I'm assuming the answer is going to be yes to that. If so, how do you do it? That sounds like a question for law enforcement. I'm not the one to ask that question to. All right, I want to play what Mike Tomlin had to say. Mike Tomlin met with the media earlier today, and he talked about how the Chiefs gave the Steelers the absolute beats the last time these two teams played each other.
We have big-time challenges in terms of preparing for Kansas City. We've been to Kansas City very recently. They handled us and handled us definitively, and so we understand that. But at the same time, we're not paralyzed by that. We accept that we didn't play well enough last time. We accept that we didn't plan well enough last time, but that's last time. And we're excited about the process of readiness this time, putting together a better plan, putting our guys in position to make more consistent plays, particularly in a weighty moment, situational ball, and going in and playing. We realize where we are in terms of the scarcity of these opportunities, man. We're just living in the moment, and really excited about doing so. But we better get ready physically. We better get ready mentally, emotionally, because it's going to take all of us. They're a very talented team in all three phases.
I was just thinking this. Can you find another place on the field where the Steelers potentially have the advantage outside of pass rush? Is there something else that you can think of on the field that you think, oh, they have the advantage? Because I like their running back more than I like any of the Chiefs' running backs. They also have Najee Harris, who averaged 3.9 yards per carry this year. So to give you an idea of how bad the running game was this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers, listen to this. I didn't even tell you this stat earlier. It will blow your mind. So Jonathan Taylor had the most carries in the NFL this year. Najee Harris had the second most carries. Jonathan Taylor had 333 carries. Najee Harris had 307. So not a huge difference between the two, right? It's like 25, 26 carries. Jonathan Taylor ran for 600 more yards than Najee Harris. On 25 more carries, he ran for 600 more yards than Najee Harris did. Blew my mind when I saw that stat. The only advantage I can find for Pittsburgh is the pass rush. I mean, they have the best pass rusher in the NFL. Certainly top three. And Cam Hayward's a dog, too. Outside of that, where? They've got great wide receivers, but it doesn't matter if you've got the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger throwing them the football. They got a better running back, but it doesn't matter if you have a bottom five offensive line in the National Football League. Is there anywhere you can find that the Steelers have the clear advantage? Like, if we're doing a tale of the tape, if this is boxing, if this is like that segment on NFL Network where they do the arrows where every week somebody picks another team's quarterback over Mahomes and everybody gets mad because Derek Carr picked against Patrick Mahomes. Is there anywhere that you think the Steelers have the advantage outside of pass rush?
No. I mean, on paper, their receivers are better, but Ben Roethlisberger's throwing the ball, so that's moot. On paper, their running backs are better, but Ben Roethlisberger's passing the ball, which means no one's going to be playing deep, so that's moot. I think their corners are probably negligible, but I think their corners are buoyed by their pass rush. I mean, outside just Hayward and Watt. If I think Hayward and Jones is probably close to a wash, but Watt's just so much better than Clark that you have to take their pass rush better. But I don't think their pass rush is light years better. There's nothing the Steelers do that intimidates me. And maybe I'll have to eat crow on Monday, but there's nothing about them that's just like, oh, man, watch out for the Steelers doing X. No, doesn't exist.
If I got to eat crow, something went terribly wrong. And if you guys are mad at me at that point, that'll be fine because I'll be mad at about seven other people. Like, we'll just be mad together on Monday if that happens.
I mean, we won't have time to eat crow on this show. We'll be discussing all the people that got fired. That's what we'll be doing. Can you believe X, Y, and Z are out of here? We won't have time to do it.
Coming up in a little bit, Jay Binkley will join us in studio. Binkley will be in studio coming up in just a minute. I want to play for you guys what Tomlin had to say about Melvin Ingram. Ingram played for the Steelers earlier this season, now hopped over to the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a happier person for it.
They got quality edge people and Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram. Melvin has been an awesome addition to him, particularly in terms of the point of attack. He takes a lot of the run game responsibilities. He plays on the tight end side or the three-man surface, and Melvin's the type of guy that you can't trade one for one with. This guy comes off one-on-one blocks and makes tackles. I mean, that was a big play he made last week that got him out of that stadium, blowing up that run in the backfield.
We need to do an investigation to figure out how Melvin Ingram got to the Chiefs for the price. It's not even that he wasn't a good fit in Pittsburgh anymore. Like, that happens, you know? You sign a free agent one-year deal, you end up thinking one thing, you get there, and it's the bait and switch, and they pull the rug from under you. The rest of the league could have evaluated Melvin Ingram the exact same way. Now that you've seen the impact that Ingram has, no team was willing to give even a fifth-round pick to ensure that he didn't go to Kansas City. The league let Kansas City acquire one of the few things that they needed. This team doesn't really need much. They're one of the three best teams in the football, in the National Football League. They didn't need a whole lot. You let the Chiefs acquire a pass rusher with juice, a veteran pass rusher, which then opens things up for your best defensive player. Not a smart move for the rest of the National Football League, and Melvin Ingram is certainly making them pay. Binkley will be up in a little bit. This is probably why I don't really have a lot of respect for the Steelers. If you've heard me evaluate quarterbacks, I think the two best ways to do it are completion percentage and yards per attempt. Accuracy and yards per attempt are incredibly important. Ben Roethlisberger is 30th in yards per attempt. The only quarterbacks who are worse this season at yards per attempt were Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. Over the last two seasons, if you want to extrapolate it out more, it's Sam Darnold and Nick Foles, who was on the Bears last year. He's all-time bad at the quarterback position. I have no clue how the Steelers won 9 games this year, especially not in how competitive I think the AFC is. This was maybe the toughest AFC we had ever seen before. That's what we kept saying for weeks and weeks and weeks. People like me were coming on here patting the Chargers on the back, missed the playoffs. Patting teams like the Colts on the back. You missed the playoffs. You missed the playoffs to the Steelers? If you missed the playoffs to the Steelers, you can only blame yourself. You know when they do the bubble watch on the NCAA tournament? If you're one of the last four out, I don't want to hear you go on ESPN and complain about the system. If you can't make the tournament in college basketball, then you just stink. If you couldn't make the AFC playoffs and the Steelers found a way to be the seventh seed, you did it to yourself. Indy, you did it to yourself. Los Angeles, you did it to yourself. There was no reason to be a worse team this year than the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you were even kind of capable. Coming up, Jay Binkley will join us in studio. We'll get his reaction to everything that's happening in the National Football League next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6. He can talk about football.
And I've told you to see that since day one. Nick Bolton, when he gets there, he brings you down.
And he can talk about food.
Cheeseburger pizza at Menske's. It's a great place to take a first date.
And he can, well, that's all he can really talk about. It's time for Bink to join CDOT in studio right now on The Drive.
To my right, it's Jay Binkley. Bink, how you doing, man? Last time you were here, we threw down on some wings.
Yeah, we did.
I threw down on some chicken wings. I don't know if you threw down on wings. You didn't seem like you really enjoyed the wings.
I mean, no, it's not my thing. A little chicken nugget with a wing in it? Come on, man.
Okay, so can we tell people what we're doing tomorrow on the show? I'm really excited to compete with you in this.
Yes, so this is a draftable draft.
At 3 o'clock, every person here at 610, we're going to do a playoff touchdown draft. So no quarterbacks. You have to score a touchdown. We're all putting in a little bit of money in a pot to see who picks the two players that score the most touchdowns over the course of the playoffs. So there's some strategy involved.
Who's going to play the longest?
You know what I mean? There's some strategy involved. Maybe you take Diggs, his team loses, you're eliminated. You're done out here. A little bit of stakes here. We're going to do that tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So everybody will be in studio tomorrow.
Pete, too, because Pete should be here.
If you want Pete to play, yeah, then everybody can play.
Pete wants to play. Pete deserves to play.
Okay.
He should be here, right? He's on with you.
If you want Pete to play, I'm happy to let Pete play. I don't know if Pete's going to win, but sure.
Well, he's not going to win, but let him play. Take his money.
You think you're going to win?
It's a good chance, yes.
No, not at all. Not at all. I had to do this because I want revenge from losing in Survivor. I'm back now. I got my mojo back.
Oh, well, by the way, our bet is equal. Because I won a bet and I lost the bet to you, so we're
square. What bet did you lose?
I lost the Noah Gray one.
I know, but what bet did you win?
Well, I did win the bet, but I gave you Kurt Warner that one time. What are you talking about? You still paid me. I have a Venmo. I have a Venmo now. You told me to get one. Get one at the time.
You
said,
you
get with these kids because they're lit. I set one up. Rob knows I set one up because he helped me do it.
Okay, so right now, if I send you $10 to get a burrito, then you owe me $5.
Let's just call it even.
Okay.
That's you owe me a burrito, I owe you one. Let's call it even. Though mine was double meat, but whatever, you know. Just
yeah, the double meat burrito is around $15. The $15 you now owe me because of Noah Gray.
No, I got double meat with Kurt Warner because he's Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and I got $15 because you were out here selling wolf tickets in training camp. You had Noah Gray being Kelsey 2.0, and he was...
He dropped a few, damn it.
And he was Nick Kaiser 2.0.
Well, they tried, man.
That's who he is.
He was out there a lot. He got a lot of snaps. He got out there.
Nick Kaiser.
Or even.
I asked this question just a little bit ago. Is there any advantage Pittsburgh has in this game outside of pass rush?
No. Pass rush is it. 55 sacks on the season. They can get to the quarterback. That's their one redeeming grace. They can't stop the run. I was talking to Cody and Gold. I was on with them earlier. I know we make fun of the Chargers run defense all the time. You know what's worse? It's crazy. Pittsburgh, 32nd in the NFL at stopping the run. These teams, you look up at the last couple weeks, like just teams running for over 200 yards against the pound. Like Chiefs get a lead, hand the ball off. They cannot stop the run, nor they can they run. They're 29th in the NFL in running the football either. Just two things you're not familiar with the Steelers. They tried. They were 32nd running last year. They go out and draft Najee Harris. They're still 29th in the NFL because Big Ben limits them, because that quarterback getting 15, 20 yards, that helps your average.
I'm a big believer in yards per attempt. I think it's the easiest way to identify who the better quarterbacks are in the NFL. The only two quarterbacks he's better than are Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. Like, he doesn't have any ability to beat you downfield. Like, not at all. He doesn't have any ability.
He's on his last hurrah, C-Dot. Thought the season was going to be over. I'm not sure what you're going to get from him because he's got retirement coming right up. As soon as that game's done, Big Ben's done. Rides off in the sunset. So he's one of those guys like Tom Brady, like you get back there to him, he's going down. Like he's not going to fight you and spin out of the grasp of L'Jarius Sneed on a nickel blitz, comes back there and grabs him. He's going down. It's not going to be one of these things where you see the quarterback spin out of the way, make it fire a pass down the field. That's not Big Ben. He'll go straight down.
No, he absolutely will. It blows my mind that Pittsburgh is even in the position that they're in with that bad of a quarterback. I don't know if we've seen a team over the last 5 years make it to the playoffs if their quarterback is this bad.
It's just they've been afraid to hit the reset button. Like, that reset button's been right there. Like, because Big Ben said this last couple of years, you know, we're talking about how hard it is getting out of bed, and you're always wondering every year if he's going to play or not. But they should have hit the reset button this year. Again, the quarterback's not out there unless they're going to, you know, make a play for a current quarterback. I don't see Carr going anywhere now. Russell Wilson, maybe. I don't see him ending up in Pittsburgh, but what are they going to do? Because I don't think, unless they're willing to wait a couple of years, unless they're going to draft a quarterback like Kenny Pickett and just sit there and wait at least 2 years for him. But we're seeing this just model franchise that's always battling to be there in the postseason. I thought they were going to hit that reset button last year because they had 17 free agents last year. Of course, they lose Bud Dupree. Juju comes back in a one-year deal. I wonder how he's regretting that deal coming back to Pittsburgh this year, even though he's been injured. But they hit that reset button on their offensive line. Villanueva, of course, no longer there. Their offensive line is terrible this year, but not a good football team.
There are about five teams that are in the they should have drafted Justin Fields sweepstakes, and Pittsburgh's right there. It would have made a lot of sense for Pittsburgh. If you were going to go the Ben Roethlisberger route, you let Justin Fields sit behind him, you let Ben get his final full season, and you have an easy transition process to next season where Justin Fields is in year two, but he's ready to hit the ground running because he knows your offense. You're optimistic because you got the young playmakers with them and you got a young running back maybe that you go draft in next year's draft. I'm a little surprised that Pittsburgh didn't identify what was going on at the end of last regular season and didn't prepare for this moment.
Yeah, they just didn't. It kind of got kept with their pants down a little bit. That just been running on what they have for so long. And Big Ben, that's taken them to 3 Super Bowls, and they're trying to squeeze everything out of it. And finally, it hits them. But again, you look at it and say, who's the quarterback? Because I don't know if a quarterback's coming, especially where they're going to be drafting, because they made the postseason this year. So I'm sure I don't think being in the postseason was part of their plans, but they did.
I was wondering this earlier, and you're a perfect person to kind of get their opinion on. What do you think we learned about the Chiefs so far this season? What questions do you still think need to be answered? I would say the two biggest things that I think we learned this year, they still don't have a number one running back. Can they be capable with the running back position? Sure. But for a team that spent a first round pick on a running back, and now we sit here 24 months later, they do not have a number one running back. They have two decent number two options at running back, but you probably still need to go out there and pick you up another running back. And I'm not talking about the Jerick McKinnon, McCoy, roll the dice. I mean, let's spend $4 million this year and let's improve the running back position. Also, number two wide receiver. I think they misgambled this year. They thought that Mecole Hardman was ready to be that number two wide receiver. They thought Byron was ready to be that number two wide receiver. And I don't think they have it. I think those are the two questions that are still out there for the team, or things that I think we picked up over the course of the season.
Or did they settle? Because clearly they made a play at Juju. Or even Andy Reid got involved in the recruitment of Juju Smith-Schuster. That shows me the Chiefs wanted that big-bodied wide receiver. I mean, the proof is evident right there. That's who they targeted. That's who they went after. They weren't able to bring him in. You know, they settled on Josh Gordon. Yeah, I know Hardman's doing his deal now. But again, I think the Chiefs really, really wanted Juju in the offseason. A lot like they did Melvin Ingram.
I agree. I think they
wanted those two positions they really wanted.
I think they wanted Juju as well. But there's a big gap between trying to go after Juju and then the only move you make is Cornell Powell, who can't make the team. That's a big gap of.
But there was a lot of Cornell Powells in the NFL this year. I mean, this was the toughest draft in NFL history, not having a combine. Like, Brett Veach, I think he showed a couple things, and it's another thing the Chiefs showed, that he could do well in the draft. This was a very, very good draft for Brett Veach. Get Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey in the second round, because that was always the big misnomer. Can he draft the second round? Well, Creed's the highest the graded center in the National Football League, and Nick Bolton just doing amazing things for this team, including helping them win football games. Trey Smith in the 6th round, a starter. And even if you go the year before, L'Jarius Sneed, clearly if you redrafted, he's probably a 1st round. I think that should give the team some solace that your general manager identified players in the draft to help this team in a year where he was going to reshuffle and rebuild this offensive line. And he was depending on two rookies to do that with Patrick Mahomes there, $500 million at quarterback. And then to go out and make a trade deadline deal like Melvin Ingram to really help this team. Trade acquisition of the season in the National Football League, bringing in Ingram. I think Brett Veach should gain some trust from Chiefs fans this year.
If you remove the Patrick Mahomes draft, which is always going to skew it because you got the best quarterback in the league in that draft, this is the best draft since that, I believe it was 06. Remember that draft class? They got Albert, Jamal Charles, Brandon Carr, all of those guys in the one draft. This is the best draft they've had since then. Bolton is going to be a long staple in the linebacker group. Creed Humphrey looks like a guy who's going to be an all-pro. And you also got Trey Smith, another guy who I don't know if he's going to be an all-pro, but a guy who can be a Pro Bowl, a guy who's going to be a high-end starter at his position for years to come. You don't get three can't-miss starters in any individual draft. This is one of the best drives they've had in team history.
No question. You look at the moves they made. James Palmer was on NFL Network today, and he said he had talked to some Broncos coaches and staff, and they called Joe Tooney one of the best offseason acquisitions by any team. You know, bringing Tooney in, and you pair him up, and, you know, he imparts that wisdom, you know, on some of the rookies starting on the offensive line. But to have that much trust in a draft that did not have a combine and you're dealing with pro day numbers, to hit home runs in this draft of all drafts, insanity how good this draft was for the Chiefs.
Right now we're talking to Jay Binkley. If you got some questions, now would be a good time. It's been a while since we've done random question time with Jay Binkley. It's been a while since we've done it.
We need some more. That's for sure.
913-576-7610. I mentioned this earlier. I believe Mike Tomlin has been a little bit unfairly criticized over the last couple of years by lack of playoff success. Where if you look at the National Football League, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady on your team, it's been real hit and go when it comes to your success in the playoffs and how you've done it. You look at Drew Brees, very inconsistent playoff success. You look at Russell Wilson, a lot of his winning came early on in his career. He's going through a little bit of a lean patch. Look at the Ravens. Since they went to the Super Bowl and won it with Joe Flacco, haven't had a whole lot of playoff success since then. It's just hard to consistently win in the NFL. I don't know if playoff success can be the end-all, be-all on who we think are the best coaches in the league.
Well, it's a good start when you look at it because this since 2000, I mean, just dominated by Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And I'll throw Big Ben in there in the Pittsburgh Steelers because he was that outlier that kept getting there outside of Peyton Manning. You know, getting there with consistency to the Super Bowl. But everybody's looking for it, and that guy's just not out there. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen to Deshaun Watson sweepstakes? I think that's the big one, where he ends up, because I do feel like he's going to play in the NFL next year.
I agree.
I just do think – I don't think Rodgers going anywhere. He seems – I don't know if you heard Rodgers on Sirius last week, but he Gutekunst, the GM, they seem to have agreed on things. They've sat down and talked and everything, and he seems relatively happy there, but – it's going to be feast or famine with the quarterbacks this year.
No, it absolutely is. And I've been making the joke that the Broncos, to me, it seems like their plan is to hope at quarterback. Their plan to me seems to be hope lightning strikes twice. We got lucky and got Peyton Manning. We got maybe the best free agent acquisition that the league has ever seen before. We'll just do it again this time. Like, that's not how you do it. Like, you got to go hunt your own food when it comes to the quarterback position. You got to draft, get lucky, develop, put the right parts around them, and that's how you figure it out at the position. If the Broncos don't get one of those big fish, so one of those names that you mentioned, I don't know what their plan is at quarterback other than bring Bridgewater back.
I don't know what they're going to do. They're kind of stuck, and they have a great roster. That is a lot of talent on the Denver Broncos, both offensively and defensively. You look at their skill positions, you put up against anybody. I mean, I love that talent the Denver Broncos assembled except for the quarterback. Now they're moving on to a different coach aspect. They're going to be bringing in a new owner. They've got a lot of stuff going on in Denver, you know, with ownership and finding the quarterback coach. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
No, there's a whole lot right now that's going on with the Denver Broncos. They're one of the teams I'm very uncertain what the future for them looks like. I just don't know. Maybe they get Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay had an agreement before. Hey, it's time for us to go our separate ways. It's run its course here. I'm open to the highest bidder, and Denver puts the best package together to go get him. Like, that's a possibility. Maybe they hire Eric Bieniemy. They get Deshaun Watson, and now completely new outlook on where you are as an organization. But they appear right now to be in such a critical crossroads on where they can go as their division is getting tougher and tougher and tougher. It's getting more competitive. The quarterbacks in the division are getting better. And the Broncos are just kind of stuck in the mud.
Yeah, you look at this division, you think, okay, well, this year the playoffs, if you had two teams in the AFC West, you tell them two teams are going to make it. You would have said Mahomes and Herbert. You said those are the two quarterbacks. Now Mahomes and Derek Carr. So now not only is Derek Carr in the playoffs, but now the Chargers are a better team than Denver Broncos. They sit there looking up at everybody else. And that's a team that's got Javonte Williams. They drafted Noah Fant, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, Patrick Surtain on defense. That team is so loaded on defense and offense. And it's a weird predicament they're in because by the time they have a quarterback up and ready to roll, everybody's going to be on second contracts. Heck, Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton just got extended this year, so they're going to be there for a few more years. But at what point do you kind of have to jettison those guys off because your quarterback's not ready to go?
We got some breaking news in the National Football League. According to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, the Giants have fired Joe Judge. The Giants' job is once again open. Joe Judge, out of here. He gone.
That needed to happen. That needed totally. If all these coaches you look at and say, how does this guy have his job? Right thing by the Giants.
I don't know how you can do what he did the last 4 weeks of the season and keep your job. From the press conferences to the things that he said, they ran multiple quarterback sneaks. They ran a quarterback sneak on 2nd and 9 and then ran another one on 3rd and 9.
I thought he was gone earlier this year, C-Dod, before they played the Chiefs when he was talking about his team and a person in the media gave him an injury update. Like, he didn't even know it. Like, we're talking about his quarterback situation, and he was unprepared for the injuries on his football team, and somebody in the media brought something up to him, and he wasn't sure about it. At that point, I was like, this guy didn't have his pulse on his team.
Do you think Eric Bieniemy is a serious candidate this year?
I do. I do. I really do. I think this is the year for EB. A lot of times these guys get all the buzz. They don't necessarily end up with the jobs, but just a sneaky selection. I think this is the year that he gets it, whether it's in Denver, whether it can be with the Giants. Again, I don't think great situations because I always – but he's got to take a job. It's 1 of 32 in the NFL. I always thought coach-quarterback combination would be perfect. Like Jacksonville, I think it would be perfect for him. Having, you know, a guy like Trevor Lawrence and try to hope for lightning in the bottle, kind of like Brandon Staley, you know, working with Justin Herbert. And obviously the going for it on fourth down and everything is costing him. That's not what Eric Bieniemy would do. But looking at the quarterback-coach combination, again, it's not like you go to a team with a great draft pick because you're going to grab a quarterback in the first round. That's just not here for a lot of these coaching candidates. So it's almost that existing quarterbacks there that you still see hope and promise in. And right now, when you look at some of these job openings, like Jacksonville will be the one you'd think.
I don't think Jacksonville's going to hire him. They haven't brought him in for
he's out of the equation.
I don't think he has a chance.
No.
The three jobs that make the most sense for him would be Minnesota, Denver, or the Giants. Those would be the ones. With the Giants, you're going to start completely over. They'll let you pick your quarterback. They'll let you pick your general manager and lock yourself in as head coach. If I'm the Giants, what I'd be really interested in doing is I'd hire John Dorsey, I'd hire Eric Bieniemy, and let's start over at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I like the choice. Minnesota fan base wants Eric Bieniemy to come in there. They like him. Of course, Denver with the whole proximity to Colorado where he played in college and the fact he's coming from the division. Like, if there's one way to beat Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, how about a guy that's been here every single second? Every single huddle with him, every single practice with him. Since the day Andy Reid got here, Eric Bieniemy was with him as a running backs coach back in 2013. That's something you'd want, just for the intel purpose only, that he knows what makes the Chiefs go. And you got a team that's won 6 straight divisions, try to find out what they're doing.
Do you think he's ready to be a head coach?
I do, 100% do. I thought about that from Eric Bieniemy back from like 2013 when he was first on the field with the Chiefs running backs coach. And just the way he's barking at the players, the respect the players have for him, the way that he coached up players, and, you know, who does the playbook and all that. I mean, we know Andy Reid does a lot of that. Kafka has influence. Bieniemy has influence. Bieniemy does memorize the play sheet the week of the games. I think he's ready for it. 100% he's ready for it. Being with Andy Reid and his team, going 2 straight Super Bowls, you know, being the offensive coordinator, you know, working his way up from running backs coach, former player in this league, He's as ready as anybody in this league.
Right now, we're talking to Jay Binkley here, talking a little football. Coming up momentarily, we'll get to Ask Bank, but wanted to get to the top story right now in the NFL. Breaking news, the Giants have fired Joe Judge, so they're looking for a new coach and a new general manager. I am nominating John Dorsey and Eric Bieniemy. It just makes a lot of sense. They've worked together. We know that Dorsey can scout and evaluate talent. Maybe his people skills aren't the best, but you will get
accounting skills count for something.
You will get an infusion of talent almost instantly. I don't know if there's many people that know how to handle and evaluate the NFL draft better than him. You get Eric Bieniemy, who feels like he's ready to take that next step. That's something that teams would have done in 2008 regarding the Patriots. Hire the Patriots top guy, hire their defensive coordinator, see if they can make it work.
Just make sure you have a cap guy. You're going to go Dorsey. Make sure you get that guy behind the scenes with the pocket protector.
What playoff game are you most looking forward to this weekend?
I think Patriots and Bills. 10 degrees, Buffalo, New York. Yes, sign me up for that. Cold weather game. These two teams going at it once again. The Patriots running the three passing plays and beating Buffalo and completely embarrassed. And then Buffalo getting a revenge in New England when New England has just had the upper hand on the Bills for so long. I mean, Brady was, 32 and 35 against the Bills when he was in New England, so they've had a mastery over that team. But I'm more looking forward to that one. Plus, it kind of make things clear, like if Buffalo is able to go out and win that game, you kind of know who the next Chiefs opponent's, providing they beat the Steelers.
I'm excited about that game, too. I just look at them as being two incredibly evenly matched teams. I think Buffalo is better than New England. I think we kind of saw that over the course of the first two games that we've seen those two teams play each other. I know New England won the first one. That was just a weird situation, a weird game. I thought Buffalo actually played a little bit better, but they had the turn. It was a weird game on both sides.
Great chess match of one quarterback is a lot better than the other one, but one head coach is a lot better than the other one. So you have the quarterback on one side and the great coach on the other side. So it's a nice chess match.
Buffalo then goes on the road and then beats New England the second time. This is a good trilogy so far. We've got two very different games. It was a great heavyweight match the second time they played. It was maybe the ultimate chess match the first two times these two teams played each other. I'm excited for the third matchup.
Yeah, I think so, too. This is a heavyweight fight between these two teams, and it's going to take it all out of them. So it's good because, you know, if the Chiefs do end up playing the Bills the next week, you know, they're in for a lot tougher game than what the Kansas City Chiefs are.
Right now we're talking to Jay Binkley here. Coming up in a little bit, we'll go to Ask Bink. The other playoff games we see, Vegas at Cincinnati. I don't really know what to make of this one. I know that Las Vegas sort of narrowly made the playoffs to some extent, but you're talking about a Cincinnati team that's in their first playoff game. We're talking about Derek Carr, who makes his first career start. We've seen a lot of teams like Cincinnati sort of buckle under the pressure of making the playoffs for the first time. I think that game's a little bit more unpredictable than people are giving credit.
I do too. I think Cincinnati definitely has the upper hand on them, though. I don't know how the Raiders are going to stop some of those weapons of the Cincinnati Bengals, especially Joe Burrow. Though he's had the couple weeks rest because he didn't play last week, and the wide receivers of the Bengals. I think it's too much for the Raiders to handle. Maybe on the NFC side, I kind of like that 49ers Cowboys because I've liked the 49ers for the last couple weeks. I just like the way they play football, and I think they could give the Cowboys some trouble.
I think the Cowboys are absolutely on upset alert there. It feels like one of those games in which the Cowboys sort of have everything going for them. They're at home. We're all going to be watching it. And the Cowboys just lose a heartbreaking game at home to a team that on paper they're better than. I'm with you. That if you want to tell me like there's one team that I'm putting on upset alert, I think that's the game. I think it's San Francisco going into Dallas and winning that one.
Yeah, I like that game. I just like the style in which the 49ers play. Nobody really talks about them, but they just keep going. They are 10-7. They've taken some losses they shouldn't, but they're getting the most out of Jimmy G.
How weird is it to say Monday Night Football and we're talking about a playoff game?
I like it. I know the players probably never wild about playing on Monday night, but I like it. I like the fact that this whole weekend's fun because they usually like the divisional round where you get the two games, good teams, good matchups, but super wild card weekend. It's fun having a couple games Saturday. You get the three Sunday. You get the Monday night game. I mean, this is like an NFL's fan heaven. I mean, especially the way last week ended up with the NFL is brilliant. How they played that. Chargers, Raiders, things were on the line. We were wondering if they're going to tie or not. But having a Monday night football game to look forward to, absolutely perfect. What a great weekend for NFL fans.
We just had Mitchell Schwartz in studio, and he said the two teams that he believes that have the most pressure on them heading into this postseason are one, the Green Bay Packers. Just this could be the last hurrah, the last dance for Aaron Rodgers. Second, he believed it's the Los Angeles Rams because of how many resources they've used to get to this point. You feel that way? You agree? Those are the two teams with pressure?
And they pushed all in. And they were a team that went all in on some of their players. They started off hot, haven't looked good down the stretch. I thought the Raiders and the Cardinals had the most pressure coming into the season for the AFC. I think the Raiders had the most pressure to get to the postseason. This is before everything went down with the Raiders this season. They still make it anyway. And the Cardinals in the NFC, considering who and what they got, I'm not going to put a ton of pressure on the Packers. They've been to two straight NFC title games. Matt LaFleur just keeps getting the team to this position. The Buccaneers may be a little bit of pressure, all the injuries they've had, and Tom Brady, you know, when's he finally going to call it quits? Because eventually he is. I know we keep saying it every year, but when is the last year for Tom Brady?
I assume he's
playing at a remarkable level.
Yeah, I assume he's coming back again next year. Okay. I mean, I obviously could be wrong. Like, he could just be like, hey, I've done everything I want to do. I'm out. But
he's never done with him.
With the way he continues to play, I mean, he's going to finish top three in MVP voting. I just don't see him walking away unless forced to sort of walk away.
I just think it's one of those interesting things to watch in the NFC.
Coming up on the other side, 913-576-7610. We'll do Ask Bink. It's been a while since we've done Ask Bink. It's been a while since we've let people throw some random questions at you and get your opinion on things, give your unique perspective on things. We'll do that next. Send your questions in 913-576-7610. The breaking news, the top story in the National Football League, Joe Judge is out. We'll keep an eye on if Eric Bieniemy is a realistic candidate for them. All that and more. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Back in on The Drive, Bink is here. We're going through your questions coming up momentarily, but the breaking news right now in the National Football League, the Giants' job is open. The Giants' job is going to be a well-coveted position. Aside from the New York, if we're just talking about football, you're going to have the fifth and the seventh pick this year. So you're going to have the ability to maneuver and do exactly what you want to do this year in the draft. You're also in one of the weaker divisions of the National Football League. That Giants job is going to be pretty coveted. They should be able to swing big. Now, the last time they had a job opening, they hired Joe Judge, which it didn't make any sense from the beginning.
Russell Wilson could end up there, too.
Yeah, I
mean, it's one of the spots that he would go to as a Giants. He's been linked there.
Would you give the fifth and seventh pick for Russell Wilson?
No.
I wouldn't give the fifth and seventh pick.
I'll
give you one. Like, I'll give you the fifth pick, and then we could talk about some next year compensation.
Be like a Carson Wentz-type trade. Second rounder until you play 70% of your snaps.
I just wouldn't be interested in giving the fifth and seventh pick up for him. Would you do it for Watson? So, like, right now, Houston comes to you and says, hey, we want to do the deal right now, but we need pick 5 and 7.
I'd have to consider it because, I mean, we kind of forgot about Deshaun this year, but Deshaun was – right there, I thought, with Mahomes, the two best quarterbacks in the AFC. I mean, how quickly you forget he led the NFL in passing yardage the year before he didn't play anymore. So, I don't know, man. Again, he's got way too many issues here. So, we'll see how it plays out. But I do like his talent.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. But you know what time it is, Bank?
Random question time!
I don't know if that was your best.
Probably third best.
Yeah, I don't know if it was your best.
No,
it's playoff time. We need a little bit more.
Random question time!
I don't know. That was Steelers playoff effort before.
Yeah,
that was like we're just in.
Smashed it.
Yeah, the remix, the sequel, much better than the original. The sequel was better. Would a Dorsey, Bieniemy, Matt Nagy possibility be a good fit? Someone on the text line wants to know.
Sure, it's better than what's been going on in New York, so yeah. I take that. You know, Nagy gets run this year, but he was a former coach of the year. He has as many coach of the years as Andy Reid, believe it or not.
Which team do you believe is just going to do something out of left field? That always is going to happen. There's just too many jobs open. One of these teams are going to be like, huh? You hired who?
Maybe the Raiders.
The Raiders?
That just seems so Raiders.
I think the Raiders are going to keep their coach.
You think so?
I think they're going to keep
him. He probably
them.
Deserves it. Sachi kind of deserves it.
Yeah.
He took this team, considering everything, to the postseason. That's like coach of the year type stuff.
I know it's a much different scenario, but...
Or Miami could do it.
Are there a lot of examples in which the interim coach plays his way into a job. They then give it to him and it works out. I'm sure there's examples. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Coach gets fired or replaced midseason.
Lose two first round picks from a year ago.
In Arnett and Ruggs. Those are 2020 first round picks. Both, they were top 20 picks, both of them.
If anything, it just really shows how unimportant John Gruden was. They got $100 million.
Or Mayock.
They gave $100 million to John Gruden, and they ended up not needing him to make the playoffs.
Although he does have Max Crosby, and that guy's a beast. So,
text line 913-576-7610. It's our favorite time, random question times with Jay Binkley. Out of all sports leagues, who are your favorite? Who are your three favorite teams or programs, Bink?
Oh, outside of the NFL?
Yeah, it says
I like in hockey, I like the St. Louis Blues. I like watching them play. Royals, obviously, for baseball. I root for the home teams of Sporting, obviously, for soccer. The NBA, Atlanta Hawks, believe it or not.
You're a Hawks fan?
It's a long story, man. But once the Kings moved, because I used to go to the Kings game all the time with my dad. We'd go down there to Kemper and watch the Kansas City Kings play. And at that time, it wasn't about emails or anything else. It was sending letters. So I sent letters to a bunch of teams saying, why should I root? I'm a free agent fan. Why should I root for your team? And only the Nuggets and Hawks sent me swag back. And the Hawks up the ante. Of course, Dominic Wilkins back in the day and Spud Webb and all that. So, Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, I did not know this.
I even carry an Atlanta Hawks hat in the car.
Do you still have the letter that they gave you?
I do not have the letter.
I mean, how could you? That's something you keep for the rest of your
life. I should have, man, but a couple moves and, yeah.
Okay, that someone on the text line says, hey, Bink, are you an old-fashioned guy? And if so, where do you recommend getting a good old-fashioned? I like the Lowe's Hotel. They're pretty tasty.
You know, I'm not an old-fashioned fan. You know, I don't drink them. I don't stray from beer very often.
You're not a whiskey guy?
I do like whiskey. I will stray to that, or I will stray to a Bloody Mary in the mornings. I will stray from beer every once in a while, but I'm all typically on beer. I can't wait for this beer, Il Padrone.
You haven't had it yet?
Center Block Friday night.
I think Spectre's already had it. I don't know. Spectre's not hooking you up.
He tasted it. I have Center Block on tonight, too. They're coming on the night show because we're previewing for Friday night, and we're going to be doing the show down there. So, yeah.
Whose idea was
it? And I got a lot of Center Block beer on my it was my idea.
This was your idea to get this.
And I've got a lot of Center Block beer that they send me, too. So we're
yeah,
good.
You gave me some of that. I had some of the cherry stuff.
It was good. Rob, too.
Yeah, I enjoyed
it. He's all going to taste the Center Block. I'm a beer guy, though.
I enjoyed it. On the text line.
Like a nice, fresh IPA. You see that?
if Eric Bieniemy were to get a head coaching position, how would you feel about bringing Matt Nagy back as his replacement?
No. Kafka. I believe in guys just putting their time in, getting that spot. Mike Kafka could be the guy because the Chiefs keep having to give him promotions because other teams do flirt with Mike Kafka because they know his role. The former quarterback coach started off with Patrick Mahomes, obviously. Kafka's job, I believe, will be the offensive coordinator of Kansas City, and he'll be a head coaching candidate really shortly once he's here. But they can't keep holding on to Mike Kafka forever. So if EB does take a head job, look for Kafka to get that nod.
Someone on the text line says, hey, Bink, you have to do your Bloody Mary with whiskey instead of bourbon. Get it spicy.
It's vodka. There's no bourbon or whiskey. It's straight vodka.
I'm just reading to you what the text line
I know, is. But I do spice it up. I mean,
I'm just reading to you what the text line told me.
I've never had a Bloody Mary with bourbon or whiskey, so that's an interesting text
I'm
line.
Just reading to you what the text line told me.
But text line, you know, they might do this. I don't know. You never know what the text is doing, man.
I'm just reading to you what they wanted me to read to you. Someone wants to know if you've ever been to the Green Lady Lounge.
I have not been to the Green Lady Lounge. Have you?
Incredible place.
Really?
I love the Green Lady Lounge.
What's there to like? What do they have? Good beer selection? Good music? What do they have?
It's just they play live jazz. It's just like very dimly lit. Right. It's a very nice place to take a gal.
Really?
Very nice place. I know you know, you like to get out there.
Would you tell
bit.
Gold he's like been swiping and stuff
him,
lately?
I told him about it before.
It'd be a good place for him to take a nice young lady.
Yeah, I'm here to help. I'm here to help anybody.
Yeah.
I'm the king of planning dates. The king of it. If you ever need an idea and you tell me what part of the city you want to be in, I'll get you a good date.
I've considered myself that too. I love giving dating advice.
Bink,
love it.
You got a lot of strengths. I don't know if that's one of your strengths.
I like it though.
I don't know if that's one of your strengths.
It's what I do as I say, not as I do, you know?
I don't know if that's one of your strengths.
I'm the king of romance, you know?
Someone says, have you had the chocolate bang yet? Which seems like that could maybe get me in trouble, but I'm assuming you know what that is.
The Bang drinks, the energy drinks that I do drink every single show.
Oh,
I prefer the Star
that kind
Blast.
Of Bang. Okay, all right.
It's the one I first started on.
Didn't they just bring back one of the Boulevard Wheat chocolate beers? Didn't they just bring that back?
Hey, I'm not a huge fan of the chocolate beers, even though I like darker beers like stouts and porters and stuff like that. You're with hint of chocolate notes, but I'm not all in on the chocolate beer. The chocolate Bang, though, I'm curious about it, though, because it sounds borderline, you know, like espresso, something like that, like you're getting into the coffee.
We got to try
Coffee Sphere. I'll try it for sure because I love Bang products.
I have some Bang
D for the night show.
I have some Bang hard seltzer in my apartment if you want it.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. They make hard seltzer.
I did not know
Bang
that.
Bang makes hard seltzer.
Do they really?
Or they partner with someone, but I have Bang hard seltzer.
That's okay. A combination that'll get you running through a wall.
Have I told you the idea I want to do with you once the season's over?
What's that?
I want to do Fast Food Friday where we just try things on fast food menus and get your opinion.
You mean like mainstream type stuff or like hidden type stuff?
Just regular fast food places, you know, like the bacon burger cheddar thing at Sonic. I haven't tried it. I don't know if you've had it.
Nope.
We can try it together and see if it's any good.
Yeah.
Let's do it together.
All right. I thought maybe you were going to be trying the bowling alleys and stuff like that.
No, we can. No, that's a different series.
Okay.
We're still going to be going around to doing that. I'm just saying on the show every Friday.
All right, let's do it.
We're going to do Fast Food Friday where
100%.
You've seen something on the Jack in the Box menu and you've always been curious. Let's just try it right here on the show.
Yeah, let's go try it.
Let's just try it.
We've already tried those wings from Taco Bell, you know.
We did. That's what gave me the idea. Fast Food Fridays.
It's a great idea.
You've been sitting there wondering, hey, does Arby's have good chicken wings? That's what this show is going to be for, so we can try them together.
And we'll figure it out.
Binkley, I enjoyed so much talking football with you today, and I learned so much from you.
I like talking football and food with you.
Coming up next, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. The top story nationally, the Giants' job is open. Will they be looking Eric Bieniemy's way? We'll discuss that and more. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.